Welcome to Street Talk Theology with Pastor Dominic Grimaldi. Pastor Dom went from a life of organized crime to federal prison. There, God saved him and set him free. Soon after his release, he attended seminary and received his master's degree and is now the senior pastor of Desert Sky Baptist Church, where he serves with a passion for biblical theology right here in Casa Grande. Now let's join our host, Pastor Dominic Grimaldi.
Okay, welcome. This is Pastor Dominic Grimaldi here with Street Talk Theology. I want to say hello to all our street talkers this morning, hoping you are taking your sound theology and bringing it to the streets. Give me a shout out anytime, pastorgrimaldi@gmail.com. It'll be my honor to interact with you concerning any theological issue or current event happening in our world today. Now, I'm really pumped this morning. As we're taking our show abroad, as I am on Zoom with two wonderful brothers from India, we got Pastor Michael Teddy and Ashok Mohan from Redemption Hill Church in India. Did I get that right, brothers?
Yes, you did.
Now, for me, Pastor Michael and Ashok, this shows me that the gospel is not bound. The word of God is living and active, sharper than a two-edged sword, and it's living and active in southern India.
Amen.
Yeah, amen, right? So as we know, not all theology is sound theology, right, Ashok? Not all theology is sound theology, right?
Yeah, true.
So we'll have our brothers talk about that as we move along in our session this morning. First off, I want to ask Pastor Michael just to introduce himself. Tell us what's going on in Redemption Hill Church in India, specifically their doctrine, and how has COVID affected India and the church? Pastor Michael, please.
Yes, thank you so much, Pastor Dominic. It's really awesome to be with you on the show. My name is Michael. I pastor a very small church in the southern tip of India. So Kerala is the state. It's the southern state of India. And we have a small church in a city called Trivandrum. And we planted the church in 2015. So that's about 5 years now. And we planted the church with six members. And now we have about 9 members, and we have about 20 or 25 odd people attending the church. So we are a church that planted by the grace of God through many circumstances where God started bringing together a group of brothers and sisters who are like-minded, who loved the Lord, who wanted to worship the Lord. And as we began to build one another up through many channels, through many circumstances, God began putting it in our hearts to plant a church. And that's how we began. And so we have been mightily blessed by a lot of theologians out there in the West. We have heard a lot of them. We have learned a lot from them. And so our church doctrine, our church statement of faith, which, you know, you can see it on redemptionhill.in. We've got a website with all that we believe and our statement of faith and things like that.
Just one thing, Michael. I want to say this, Pastor Michael. I have learned a lot from these brothers. So go ahead. I just want to throw that out there.
Amen. So, so you can come to our website. You can see what we believe. So we call ourselves a Reformed Church in Trivandrum to kind of give a taste of our doctrine, so people understand what we believe and where we come from. Bottom line, we believe that the Bible is the only means by which the Christian life, every fiber of the Christian life, can be lived. We cannot live our lives in opposition to the Word of God. Everything that we know, all Christian faith, belief, and practice is determined by what the Scripture teaches us. So our church essentially had just one agenda from day one, which was the expository preaching of the Word. Everything else, God has been gracious to build us through that. So we have seen over the course of 5 years how God has molded our church just through the preaching of the Word of God. So we believe that the Bible is the center of all of our focus, whatever we do, whatever our mission is, and we stick to scripture. We believe that that is where we find truth, and that has been the foundation of the church. Of course, we still are in many ways still a very young church, but God has been very gracious in teaching us many things and leading us through all of that.
Pastor Michael, just so I want to talk about COVID. Has that affected the church and affected it? I know you got some huge numbers out there. I know in your region it's a little less, but maybe you can, you guys are up against that, I'm sure, right?
Yeah. So, we've been watching the news out west also. And, you know, there was that period of time when there's that tension between the government and the church, you know, locking down churches, shutting down churches. But locally, our situation has been quite different because our government has been trying hard to open everything up. You
That's
know,
amazing. Yeah, you know too much. You know too much about us, Pastor Michael.
Yeah. so we've had the government try to open stuff up, just try to get things moving, but our numbers are very high. And with this new wave of COVID that's hit, we have a lot of death. I'm sure you've heard in the news that we have a lot of oxygen crisis in hospitals and things like that. So we are currently on lockdown. So ever since COVID began, as a church, we were affected because we used to gather in one of the members' houses in a big hall. We used to meet we could accommodate about 20 to 30 people, and that's where we used to meet. But when COVID struck, we naturally couldn't meet. And so we've gone online and we've been meeting on Zoom. It's not been the most joyful in the least of transitions. We definitely want to meet one another, but God has been graciously carrying us through it, because a lot of key elements in our church service still gets met. We have the preaching
the
of the word of
praise
God, right? We have the preaching of the word of God. We have our service team that's just, you know, a bunch of youngsters are there who are, you know, putting in effort to make sure that songs are ready. Everything is prepared. So week after week, we come online, we meet each other, we talk to one another. And then whenever we can, we do meet one another physically. We go to each other's homes when it's possible and depending on the situation and scenario. But undoubtedly, this is not ideal, and we constantly pray for God's mercy so we can start meeting again. So,
yeah, we kind of call that here. We want to put skin in the game, right? We want to be around our people. We want to.
Yeah.
Okay, Mr. Ashok, I got a question for you. You know, I'm not letting you off the hook. We got to hear from our brother. You know, Ashok is how I really got connected to these wonderful brothers, and they are my friend. I tell you, I was telling Rachel this morning, hey, Ashok, you got to see your face. I said, hey, Rachel, I want to go to India. She looked at me. She goes, oh, no. But she says, well, you at least can you wait till the pandemic's a little better? I says, well, I'll do that then. Ashok, question for you, because I know Ashok is like the he's got all the he's got all the reading materials. He's like the, so every book I name, he's got, you know. But Ashok, what kind of Christian materials are available in India? If you know, he's got a smile. I know he's going to like talking about this, Pastor Michael.
Oh yeah, yeah, it is true. Just because I have books doesn't mean I read all of them.
me either, right, Michael? Me and Pastor don't either.
Yeah, I like to think of them as investments for the day of need, I do try to get hold of any good book I get out there in India, and you know, a lot of it might be through Amazon. And apart from that, we have 2-3 big Christian booksellers in India, publishers and all. But it's really hard to get hold of good books, good reformed, solid material. Every now and then it is possible that a good book slips in, but by large, it's pretty hard to get hold of good Christian materials in India. Now, there have been a few initiatives by Reformed Brothers across India. One of the names would be Aletheia Books, and another one would be For the Truth. These are two groups who are actually trying to bring good, solid, Reformed Christian books to India and reprint them here and sell them at much cheaper rates. And it's made so they're trying to make it much more available across India. And apart from that, Grace to India. So Grace to You has a kind of an Indian version where they have their books translated to Indian languages and they distribute it here. So Grace to India is yet another place I get my books from. Or else I just get them from Amazon. Apart from that, I think a great number of the books I have is e-books. So Kindle books. So yeah, that's another route that I take. But yeah, I would say that's that by and large, it's pretty hard to get hold of solid Reformed Christian books in India.
And most of the... Michael, please.
I have a testimony for you there, just to kind of give you a picture of what that looks like here, is every time we need a book, and it's too expensive for us to source it from Amazon, or we don't have access to it, what we've done over the years is we've prayed, and God
Praise
has been good.
Praise
and so
Lord.
We pray, and we actually go visit these stores, and a whole lot of books on these stores are, you know, Word of Faith, prosperity preaching,
yeah, of course.
All sorts of weird teachings are there. And so we pray and we go there, and God has been so gracious. A lot of times the books we pray for are there. So to give you an example, I wanted to get more resources on Greek, right? And so I had found one textbook that I thought I want to look at, one workbook, and the Greek New Testament, the Nestle Aland 28th edition, you know?
Bill Mount's workbook and the textbook that you...
Yeah, very yeah. Yeah, good stuff. We use that in seminary. I think you have it on... I think you probably have the NA 28, I think probably on Logos, I think, right, Michael?
Yeah, it's probably there. So the interesting thing was I saw these books and I tried to source them from America, and they were so expensive. I could probably buy 150 books for that rate, and there was no way that we could get it. And so I just prayed, and
the following
week I go into this bookstore hoping to get something, and I'm not thinking any of this, right? So I walk into the bookstore, and I go to one of the shelves, and I'm shocked to see this textbook there, right? And I go and I pick out that textbook, and I turn to the other shelf, and the workbook is there.
No way.
And
praise the Lord.
And I pick both these, and I took it to the, you know, the guy at the shop, and I told him, where did you get these from? And he was telling me, well, they're... bookstores announced online on their private channel that there were a few books they were trying to test in India if it would be sold. And so each seller across India gets to say which book they want to get. And he told me he picked three books. And these were two of those books, the textbook and the workbook. So I asked him, what's the third book? And he brings out the Nestle Aland 28th edition.
Oh, no way. Praise the Lord.
Please,
Pastor, go ahead.
So God is good, you know. So we came home just delighted knowing that, you know, God is good. And so it's a delight, yeah.
Praise the Lord. Listen to this. I'll tell you guys a story. When I came home from prison, the first day I went to work for like $7 an hour or something in a place called Slotsky's, right? So they had me, you know, they hired us out of prison, so to speak, and we worked there. And once they opened the store, they got rid of us. So I wind up getting a job in a Christian bookstore, and you know what's in those Christian bookstores, right? And, you know, my wife will tell you, but we had a manager that hired me. This is a God thing. I'm telling you, you guys don't know this story. So, I go interview for the job. I'm out of prison. Who knows? Maybe a month or 2 months. And I tell her, I says, you know, I was in prison for 20 years and this and that. So she just hired me. So I'm there with another brother who's in seminary right now. We were working together. He wasn't in seminary then. And, you know, in those Christian bookstores, Pastor Michael, they have all Word of Faith and Joyce Meyer and Joel Osteen. So what we used to do, me and this brother, Ben Ashok, you got to hear this. We used to hide all those books. There was this little section. I'm serious. I don't know how they didn't fire us. There was this little section of like, you know, good, solid Puritan teaching and stuff like that. And, you know, it was like this big. And we would hide. We would turn around like the Joel Osteens and the Joyce Meyers. And one day Sherry called us in and she says, and she loved us. She really liked me and Ben. And she called me and she says, Dominic, you're going to get me fired, man. You can't be doing this. Now, we don't want to give this garbage to these people, you know. So I figured that's a pretty funny story, right, Pastor Michael?
Yeah.
So we've discussed the materials that are available in India. So, Pastor Michael, with Ashok's answer on Christian materials, what kind of churches then would be mainstream in India, so to speak? Is that a fair question?
Yeah. So if you look at it on a large scale as a nation, we have a lot of Catholic churches that are definitely spread out across the nation. If we look more south, so to give you a picture of India, I'm not sure, because people have all sorts of views out in the West. When we meet Americans who come over, they have all sorts of, you know, preconceived notions about what India will look like. Some of them think there are no roads here. Some of them think that people live in huts. So to kind of give you a picture, a lot of India.
There are places like that. But yeah,
there are definitely places like that.
They think you live in hut. That's good.
but there's a lot of developed areas. There's a lot of things happening, and so our state, the state of Kerala, on the south of India, is the state with the highest literacy rate. Right. So almost over 95% of the population here are educated in the state. So there's a lot of progress. There's a lot of stuff happening in the state. So the Christian church looks very different across India. So towards northern India, in specific places in India, you would find churches that are very less in number. Some of them are persecuted. There are issues like that in many places in India. Not so much in our state. So in one way, you could consider our state or that southern states as the Christian belt of the nation. There are a lot of churches here in comparison. And so here you generally find what you would call traditional churches. Churches that look more like an Anglican, Presbyterian kind of church, denominations like that.
More liturgical, right?
More liturgical churches like that. And then you have the Pentecostal churches. There's a lot of Pentecostal churches. And those are the, you know, if you look at it, those are the like the dominant. There's the Catholic Church, and on the Protestant side of things, you've got the traditional churches like that and the Pentecostal churches. But there's also been a huge growth in the last 10 to 15 years. There's been a huge rise in the number of independent churches, churches that don't want to associate with themselves with any particular denomination. There's a lot of those churches as well. Most of them, regardless of, you know, most of them tend to be leaning towards the word of faith, prosperity, preaching. The highest influence here is definitely from televangelism. And that's kind of like the big thing amongst Pentecostal and independent churches. You find a whole lot more orthodoxy in the traditional churches. But that's still up for debate, because that's just a relative comparison. People are still influenced all over the place by... So to give you a picture, we've got television channels here that specifically cater to gospel or Christian material. And over 90% of their content mostly is all televangelism and word of faith teaching and things like that. So that is the predominant teaching of our land.
So let me just follow up with that one second, Pastor Michael, before I get to Ashok.
Yeah.
There are sound churches there, but they're few and far between. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yes. Yeah. We try to think about it as healthy and unhealthy churches, because even though there is a lot of presence of televangelism, word of faith, there are a lot of independent churches that aren't necessarily heretical, that aren't necessarily way off. There are churches that we used to be part of, a church that was more toned, that was far more, we were definitely able to fellowship there and try to work things together there. So on the scale of health and, you know, healthy churches and unhealthy churches, there are a lot of unhealthy churches and very little really healthy churches.
Okay, so here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to put Ashok on the line a little bit because you mentioned something. I know he's a well-learned brother because I've interacted with him. But Ashok, maybe I want to ask you, and this ain't on the paper, but I want to ask you, can you explain to our audience the difference between heresy and error? No, look, you see his face, Michael. You can't see his face. Well, there is a, right? I mean, because Michael did, if you want to concede to your pastor, but I know that you can answer. So what's the difference? Tell the audience the difference between what's heresy and what's error. Is that a fair question? That's a fair question, right?
I personally used to like to use something called theological trash, which is basically see theology at some level as three divisions: primary, secondary, and tertiary theology. Tertiary would be the least important things, least important in the sense that there's no, I can disagree with you but still be in the same church.
And that would be tertiary, right?
Things such as eschatology, nuances of eschatology, so those kinds of things, supralapsarianism, infralapsarianism. Those are not deal breakers. And then would be the secondary doctrines. Now, secondary doctrines, I would say secondary theology would be the topics that are important, but not important enough to break our fellowship. So Amen. It might not be the wisest thing in every case for a Presbyterian brother and a Reformed Baptist brother to be in the same church at all the times. I'm not saying that can't be exceptions. But there might come up wisdom issues, right? How do you, what do you do with children? Do you baptize them or not? So all those kinds of confusions and say Reformed versus Armenian kind of a thing. So I'll say they are important doctrines, but you can still fellowship with them, right? You can learn from them. You can encourage them.
Well, I got one question, and we got run out. But we're bringing you guys back. This is amazing. Where do you put infant baptism in there? I got it, Michael, Pastor Michael, I got to put him on the hook a little bit, right?
I'm enjoying this.
Okay, infant baptism. So let me say this. I greatly enjoyed the fellowship with, as well as learned a lot from Reformed Presbyterians who do infant baptism. And to a great extent, I do not even deny certain things. When it comes to 1 Corinthians 14, I do believe there's a certain kind of grace God extends to children. 1 Corinthians 14. So there is a certain kind of grace God does extend to children. But I personally do not believe that they should be baptized and that they are part of the covenant per se, but I do believe they enjoy some sort of covenant blessings. That's Amen. Where I personally stand when it comes to that. In our church we let brothers who hold to a covenant view of infant baptism to take membership in our church.
But praise the Lord.
But when we draw the line when it comes to teaching offices, we might not necessarily, it comes with a clause. Brothers, we would love to have you come over and join our church and be members and be blessed by the church and be a blessing to the church. But we don't want contradicting messages to come out of the pulpit. So that's where we draw the line when it comes to infant baptism. And they are brothers. We have a lot to learn from them. And we call ourselves Calvinists. We love Calvin. So, right, he did infant baptism. So,
yes, he did.
Yeah, but I do believe it's a secondary doctrine. And it would depend on which place I live in. If I am in a place where there are a ton of Reformed Baptist 1689 LBCF churches, I would definitely go to a Reformed Baptist church. But then if I am at a place where I don't have such churches, I think my fallback would be a Presbyterian church.
Hey, Michael, wait, Pastor Mike.
Yeah.
We're going to come back, but I got to get off. We got Ashok, you got literally 2 minutes to tell me that heresy, something that you are not going to be, so you got 2 minutes on that, and then you guys are going to come back and hang with me another half hour or so, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, go ahead, Ashok, you got about 2 minutes.
After secondary doctrines, I would say it's primary doctrines. Primary doctrines would be those doctrines that I would say, if you do not believe them, you're not Christian, and we might not be able to fellowship in a Christian sense, like in a one John sense. I would not say we partake in the same fellowship with the Trinitarian fellowship with that extends to believers. I do not believe that would apply to us. That would mean the fundamental basic gospel truth and everything associated with it. Say, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, the physical death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, His Lordship, Trinity, the gospel truth, salvation is through faith alone, via grace alone, and so these fundamental truths. Now, if you get this wrong, I would say it is heretic. Right, so that's where I would draw the line personally. When it comes to heresy. Now, I'm not necessarily saying those super nuances of Trinity where we do not have a very clear idea. Because, of course, when it comes to things such as Trinity, there is a certain place where we have to give up, right? I mean, mysteries of God. I mean, so
I think you would say anything that violates the gospel, right?
Anything that violates. Very good. And you guys hold that thought. This is Pastor Dominic Grimaldi here on Street Talk Theology, and I'm bringing these brothers back. So you guys got to tune in next week, but to finish up this conversation. So we love you guys, and thank you so much for coming on this week. And you guys are coming back, right?
Yes, we are. Thank you.
Praise the Lord. And Street Talk Theology, and we'll see you guys. And this is where we take. Theology, we bring it to the streets. So till next week, Pastor Dominic Grimaldi, in Jesus' name.
Thank you for joining us for Street Talk Theology with Pastor Dominic Grimaldi. You can visit Pastor Dom at Desert Sky Baptist Church at 891 West Corson Road, Casa Grande. And for more information, visit us online at www.desertskybaptist.org.